Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. I prepared a word for you, but as we were worshiping, I was took a hard shift from the Holy Spirit, and so turned to Romans. So I was going to preach and teach to you about the fear of the Lord, which is a powerful, powerful revelation. And my wife, it's probably the most prayed prayer that my wife prays for me and for her and for our whole family. Give us the fear of the Lord. Increase the fear of the Lord in our lives. And I do believe that the Lord's done that. It's an awe mixed with reverence. If you have the fear of the Lord, it's not fear like fear of the boogeyman. It's very different. Very different. It's an awe mixed with love and understanding that the things of God are the nearest and dearest to you. But it's more complex than just giving you a paragraph on it. I've preached on it before, but I feel led of the Lord to preach from Romans 15. Find the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. I'm going to read from the New King James Version for the media people. Romans, very good. Romans 15, verse 13, New King James. And we'll read that in just a moment. We're an unusual church. Well, it's only unusual by today's standards. It wasn't unusual in the first century. The first century is full of fire, miracles, signs, and wonders all over. It's just unusual now where the scientific model has creeped in and secular humanism pushing from without and all of that. And the logic and reason debilitating people's faith. And you'll see in the first century church how the first century church expanded with tremendous momentum, and it wasn't because of someone's fine intellect, although I'm not against that. I'm all for it. Praise God for a fine mind. Praise God for being educated. We need to grow in the knowledge of God, but it wasn't just the knowledge of God that caused the kingdom of God to expand like it did. And this text is so profound, and it's a picture of the kind of church we are. What caused the early church to have the kind of impact? What's causing us to have the kind of impact that we are? And I'm mindful that we can have a far greater impact. So a far greater impact, how would that happen? How has the impact happened here in Kings? How has the impact happened in the first century? How has the impact taken place to cause the church to go from Jerusalem to Illyricum and Rome and all the way around the world, that we're actually having church now in the furthest most places, reaches of the earth because of what took place in the first century? How did that happen? And it was more than just intellect. It was the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. We are a spirit-sensitive church. We're a Holy Ghost church. We're a spirit-filled church. Aren't all churches spirit-filled? No. No, they're not. Should they be? By my estimation and my study, yes. But I'm thankful for the body of Christ. I'm not against those who thinks that, you know, finances should just come in miraculously without anybody talking about it. I'm thankful for them. But I'm going to go ahead and teach you. I'll stand before the Lord for how I've taught you. That was another sucker punch to the guy on Facebook. I got to move on. I probably need a prayer. I break bitterness off of me right now. I'm not bitter. I'm angry. No, I'm just kidding. Sort of. Romans 15. So the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus all across this place. Oh, we thank you. Did you say I should say they're stupid? Yes. Pastor Karen. Let's pray for Pastor Karen. That's not very nice. It's not very nice at all, Father. Help Pastor Karen. Okay. Where are we? Romans 15. Let's get into the text. So I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about being a spirit-filled church because that's who we are. Somebody said, this place is different. What's different? The power of the Holy Spirit allowing him to move unashamedly. That's what's different about Kings. That maybe a church that you've been to, maybe you've been to a church where God's doing far greater miracles, and we hope to get there. Stand up on your feet with me if you're able to. Romans 15, find the 13th verse. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren and sistren. I added sistren, that's not in there, brethren, for all the Pharisees. That you're also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge. There's knowledge right there. Able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. Listen closely to verse 18. For I will not dare speak of any of the things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem all the way around about to Illyricum, I have fully preached. Everybody say fully preached. Fully preached the gospel of Christ. Father, move in power in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I heard of the most incredible miracle just recently. One of our guests who's coming up, Pastor Brian Gibson, he'll be preaching one of the main sessions. And he's been up here before. He is burly. He's intense. He's from Texas. He's a cowboy, grew up on a ranch. And there's a lot of commonality between, who won the Super Bowl, by the way? Aw, praise the Lord. Congratulations to all the Eagles. We'll take it as a prophetic sign. Amen. We'll rise with eagle's wings. Glory to God. All right. No offense to the Chiefs. No disparaging remarks to be made about them or Native Americans or anything like that. Just God's good. Back to Pastor Brian Gibson. He is having these unusual miracles. And what I mean by unusual, I mean really unusual. Gemstones showing up in the church. Oil flowing out of his palms. Now, he started telling me, and we're like, wow, that's crazy. And then I said what I've said to all gemstone and gold dust oil folks. How many of you have heard some of that? I said, go cash those in. Can you go bring them and cash them in? Well, when they had somebody bring a stone to a gemologist, they don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. It's not like a ruby or a sapphire. They don't know what it is. It's some hard stone that they don't know what it is. So the oil thing is kind of unusual. So his palms, he starts getting oil. And he thought it was weird, so he just like wiped it off. And then there's like this bunch of oil running out of his hands. I mean, like if I were to pour oil in my hands. So this is happening to him, my friend. He's my friend. I know him. He's going to be here. He was just at the church I was at, and I was talking to one of the pastors there, Pastor Kendrick. And Pastor Kendrick said, when I was in service with him, he said, where's he from? He's from an African nation. I've forgotten which one, but he has this incredible accent. And he says, I heard about the oil. I said, I don't know what's about that. That's weird. I'm like, okay. He said, but then I started seeing oil coming out of his palms where he's been, and the mic was like all greasy and stuff. I mean, you could see it. And I know he didn't have any grease on his hands before he grabbed the mic. So like what? It's something about the glory of God. He said, and then I looked and I have oil coming out of the palms of my hands. I'm like, wow. He said, so I washed them off because I thought that was weird. But then I looked again and there was the oil again. He runs the equivalent of the King's Dream Center. He runs their rehab, and was talking to him. We're going to have him come up, and he's gonna speak to the King's Dream Center. How many of you know we have a rehab, a rehabilitation center, King's Dream Center, and a Lighthouse. Just grateful for Lighthouse. It's a transitional home for women. Grateful for that. So he was witnessing to a guy in the street who's a Muslim. This just happened last week. Witnessing to a guy in the street who's a Muslim, and this oil, as he's praying for him, oil starts appearing in his palms. I'm talking about on the street corner. Kendrick, Pastor Kendrick, witnessing to this Muslim guy, and the guy is like totally freaked out. Well, that's the end of his witnessing time, and he leaves, and he goes about. He runs into the guy again later on that week, and the guy says, do that oil thing again. He's like, that's not how it works. You don't just like do the oil thing. He's like, come on, wait, hold on. Hey! And he calls his buddies over. Now he's got a group of Muslims that are there. And they're like, he does the oil thing. Go ahead, do it. Pastor, do the oil thing. He's like, that's not how it works. He says, well, how does it work? He says, I don't know. I just pray. And he says, well, pray. Like, be on the spot to do the oil thing. He's standing in the street with three or four Muslims around him, and the one guy saying, do the oil thing. And he says to me, so I didn't know what else to do, so I figured I'd just pray. I mean, the oil comes, the oil doesn't come, whatever. I don't know what's going to happen. I just started praying. I started praying, and oil started coming out of my hands and then started coming out of his hands. And they were so freaked out that they all got born again. They gave their hearts to Jesus. We're like, and then it's just this oil appears. It's like, what is going on right now? Why would God do that? It's a sign and a wonder. What's a wonder? A sign that makes you go, whoa. A sign and a wonder. Signs and wonders are very important, and they're part of the full gospel. Let's look at this text. Because what caused the church to be very fruitful and successful was the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what caused the church to be successful. They didn't have a bunch of great teaching, although I think they had all that as well. It wasn't just that. It was growing in the knowledge of God. I love what Bishop said. Bishop Hammond said this, and his kids will be here. What is he, in his 90s or something? Tom and James Hammond will be here. Prophetess Hammond will be preaching next Sunday morning. And I'm just going to tell you, she's going to rip the roof off the place. It's going to be powerful. So her father-in-law, Tom's dad, says this. If you just have the word, you will dry up. You've heard me say it before. If you just have the word, you'll dry up. Well, the word's very important, but you can't just have the word. If you just have the spirit, you're going to blow up. Raise your hand if you've known some people that have blown up. Yeah, they're just loons. They have no character. They don't know the word. They act crazy. And let me just tell you something. Don't go running around giving prophecies to people around here, or you will get stopped and corrected and rebuked. Now, we have a group of people, and we have prophecy 101, 201, 301. Get in that class, learn protocol, learn how to do it, but don't do parking lot prophecy. You said, I'm prophetic. Well, unless you go through what I'm telling you, it's pathetic here. Do it somewhere else. Why is that? Because I don't know where your hands have been, and I don't know actually what you know. And if you're not trained, and we don't know where you've been, we don't know what you're living, we don't know what you believe, don't start trying to do that here. Come on, somebody, give a hallelujah. So if you just have the word, you're going to dry up. How many of you know some people that are dried up? I love preaching in churches like that. It's like a tinderbox. It's like, it's just popcorn. We call it popcorn wood. Just poof, it just goes up. I don't know if you know, it's a really dry seasoned wood in your kindling or in a wood stove. It's just like one little match. It's filled with pitch. Just instant fire. That's what churches like that are, but many times they don't go over into the realm of the spirit. You need both. What made them fruitful is they had both. They had the word and they had the spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that made them very fruitful. And if you go through and you look in the book of Acts, and we'll look at a couple different sections here, You see this boldness that came upon them. They preached until thousands were born again. What was it that took Peter, who ran from a fire with a little girl accusing him of being one of the ones that followed Jesus, which is true, and out of self-preservation runs away cursing? What caused someone like that to turn and come out of an upper room full of fire, full of boldness, full of zeal until thousands of people, crucify me if you want? Now, he doesn't say that, but he preaches Acts 2 and the whole place is undone. Power of the Holy Ghost is everywhere. What happened to Peter? He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He got filled with a boldness. He got filled with the zeal. He got filled with the power of the Holy Ghost and caused him to have a boldness to release signs and wonders and miracles. And they heard them speaking the marvelous works of God there in Acts 2. In Acts 5, so great was God's power that people would bring people into the streets so that Peter's shadow could fall upon them. Just the shadow. Come on, find your shadow. See if you can find your shadow. Can you imagine? Found it. Can you imagine if your shadow came across somebody and they got healed? Oh, if you could just get close enough to you. You're so close to Jesus that when people get close to you, they get close to him, they get healed. What was the core of Paul's ministry? And you see it right here in the text. Look at verse 13 as we'll move through this verse by verse. Y'all there with me? Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Hope. Everybody say hope. Hope is a product of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. J-O-Y. And peace in believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I've had times where I've been leaning on the edge. I don't do it anymore, honestly. I can't actually say it now in integrity. There was a time in my life where I would battle with hopelessness, but it's a long time ago. I don't battle with it anymore. Why is that? Because if I ever start feeling hopeless, I shift that gear in a big fat hurry. How? I get filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll start praying in tongues. I lift my hands to the Lord, and I'll begin to sing. I'll begin to declare the power of God, or I'll go witness to somebody. I'll start moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, and hope fills my heart. I can honestly tell you, the last time I got hit with a serious wave of hopelessness was on that windstorm night. It hit me so hard when we lost a building and everything was frozen, and I had all the professionals, well-meaning professionals, say, you've lost a building. What are we gonna do? I said, you have to jackhammer up all the 73,000 square feet of floor. I was like, what? How? He said, no, you can't do that. I don't know. You're finished. I was like, hopelessness came on me like a wet blanket. I felt like I was being entombed in hopelessness. So I walked away, started weeping. I could feel the pressure. And then something happened. No. Come on, some of you just agree with that. Hope comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. I was talking to Dr. Morocco and talking about the things that causes churches to move and grow and flourish. And I was talking about preaching and teaching and the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, Pastor Daniel, if hope is being released, a church will grow. That is a profound statement. Hope comes by the Holy Ghost. It's a product of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that sanctifies. Look at verse 16. Sanctify, the setting apart, verse 16. That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable. He's talking about bringing an offering. Sanctified, set apart by the Holy Spirit. Now that's sanctifying an offering. The sanctification of your life is daily reckoning the finished work and resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the finished work of the cross in you daily. Galatians talks about, I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's sanctification, daily declaring you're a new creation. Come on, anybody a new creation? I love when my brother said when he first came to the Lord here about 4 years ago, I asked him as a brother, I said, hey, did you ever think I'd end up a pastor? He said, what? No, no. I said, really? He said, no, you're nothing like the way that we grew up. I'm like, thank God. Come on, somebody say, thank God. I've been sanctified. I've been washed. I've been cleansed. This is the new guy. Come on, you got to live in that newness. And yes, sanctification of offerings and all of that is also an aspect or a work in the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that sanctifies. And I'm so glad he's working on me. Anybody else glad he's working on you? Some of you might need more work than others, but you just keep coming. Keep growing in God. The Holy Spirit is the one that released signs and wonders. Mighty signs, verse 19, mighty signs and wonders. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Wow. Signs, wonders, and miracles. So that from Jerusalem and round about verse 19 to Illyricum, I have fully preached. Does that mean you could partially preach? Does that mean that you could partially preach the gospel? The gospel of the kingdom is not believe on Jesus Christ that he died on a cross and rose again from the grave. Believe in your heart. Confess your sins to him. He'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. No, the gospel of the kingdom is not be born again, make heaven your home. That is not the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, did I offend you? Let me see if I can offend this left side. That's not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom includes salvation, but really the true meaning of the word, which is your whole life. It's not just having your sins forgiven. Yes, your sins forgiven. Yes, heaven to be your home, but live the abundant life now. To drive out sickness and disease, to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be used by God, to be a witness, to be his ambassador, to be a minister of reconciliation. The full gospel. They used to have a business group called the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. I was talking to a brother in the church here, and he was a part of that back in, I don't know, 70s and 80s. And they were saying they saw body parts grow out. There is one report of bringing a man from that full gospel businessmen's group. He had no foot, and they brought him to a shoe store by the direction of the Lord. Sat him down in the shoe store. This is the story. Sat him down in the shoe store, so he had one foot. He was the size of whatever, 12, and they got a pair of shoes. He put the shoes on one side, and the other, he didn't have a foot. They just stuck the stub in there. And they prayed, and his foot grew back. Listen, I wasn't there. I'm just telling you, that's what happened. I figure if he can raise the dead, he could give you a foot. He can do miracles. But so oftentimes, we don't believe him for it, and we're guilty of times, I think, not preaching the full gospel. The early church believed in God's power and believed that God's power is released by the Holy Spirit. That is what we believe. That is who we are. That's what we're contending for. That's what we're believing for. Jesus operated in his humanity by the power of the Holy Ghost, fully God, fully man. I've begun to uncrate all of my books, which is like meeting old friends that I haven't seen in years. I've had books boxed up for years. So I started opening all my books, and I don't have enough bookshelves and all of that. And I came across a book called The Two Natures of Christ. Oh, what a book. Fully God, fully man. It's a mystery. He operated by the power of the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, the same Spirit that lives on the inside of you. You've got on the inside of you resurrection power. So oftentimes, like the woman in Ireland who had electricity in the turn of the century, her house was wired, but she never turned it on. She never turned it on. She would turn it on just long enough to light the lamp. Some of you don't understand the power that dwells on the inside of you. You don't put a demand on it. Put a demand on the power of God. Take some risk. Faith is spelled risk. Begin to pray for people. And don't be like a fruitcake, for God's sake. I have so many stories of people just being weird, but then I got touched anyway, but then, you know. We had one precious lady. She would scream in church. And she would scream, "Ho!" at random times. I remember we had two police officers. This is back in Lucille Street. We had two police officers, and when she started hoeing, they thought that she was like, I mean, what did they say? They were in orange mode every time they came to church. They're just like this. So she started hoeing, and the guy's like, and the other police officer said, no, she does that sometimes. He's like, oh, okay. And so I had to correct her. I remember correcting her. I brought her to my office, and I said, listen, sister, you can't scream, oh, right in the middle of service when, like, nobody else is hoeing. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's one thing to shout when everybody else is shouting. Let me just give you some etiquette. Don't when worship is taking place, don't get louder than the worship team so that people stop looking at Jesus and start looking at why you're shouting and stuff. All right. He said, it's the Holy Spirit. You better make sure. So I brought her in my office. I said, listen, you got to stop doing the whole thing. Oh, how come? The Lord wants me to do it. It's my mighty shout. I thought, okay, well, because it scares people. Well, the Lord wants me to do it. I said, do it at home. I do it at home. I'm like, okay, keep doing it at home. Don't do it here. Unless everybody's shouting and hollering, you turn that thing loose. She says, if everybody's shouting and hollering, then I can turn loose my mighty shout. I said, absolutely. She's like, okay. Few services later, maybe 2 weeks later, there's a shout in the place. Everybody's like, and I look over at her. I'll never forget it. She goes, right? I'm like, do it. She's like, people fell out to the right and left. It was the mighty shout. But she would say, ho, ho. Come on, try it. It's quite fun. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Ho! That is pretty good, but not all ever participating. 100% participation on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Ho! Very good. Very good. She led somebody to Jesus and told me at morning prayer, Pastor, I led somebody to the Lord. I'm like, awesome. Fantastic. He goes, then they got the hose. I'm like, and she was a woman of the word. She's in heaven now, so I can talk about her. She was a woman of the word, so I just said to her, you got the hose, huh? He's like, he did. I'm like, where is that in scripture? Oh, easy. Just pulls her Bible out, as she would do frequently. Turn to Isaiah 55, right there. Now, if you go and look at Isaiah 55, the very first word is, ho. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, ho! Joy. Joy is a product of the Holy Ghost. Joy. Hope is a product of the Holy Ghost. You're going to preach. You're going to preach the gospel. You've been created and put on the earth to preach. And it's going to happen. Be encouraged. And learn. Amen. Come on, somebody say, I'm learning. Jesus was the anointed one. All right, I want you to look at some scripture here for some further scripture. How to be a church that's spirit-filled for all of my pastor friends. And let this help you. I think the first thing is desire it. I don't want to be weird. I don't like weirdness. If you do, you need to be delivered. But there are times when the Holy Spirit, I just had like the fear of the Lord fall on me. There are manifestations that come in the spirit that are unusual. And I've learned to not judge those. You see the fruit manifested in people's lives. You know, it's one thing if you might scream, ho, but you're leading people to Jesus left and right. You know what I'm saying? Like, something's right about that. Something's happening. But it might be this unusual. I've seen people jerk a little bit. I don't jerk too much. Hope not to. But I do some other unusual things. We had a guest speaker at the conference we were just at. And the man was unusual. He preached for half of his message with his eyes closed. Powerful. And then eventually he opened his eyes. But he would do certain things. As he'd be preaching, his hand over here would do this thing. And, some of you don't see any of that, but I see, like, all of that kind of stuff. And then he would do this thing. And then every so often he'd be like, what's happening right now? So I was talking to one of the pastors that was visiting the church there. And we were talking, so what do you think of the ministry? He says, powerful speaker. He said, but the real miracle is that he can preach like that being, well, he's special. We're all a little special. Come on, raise your hand if you're special. He said, I think he's on the spectrum. I'm not quite sure that means. I think that's a multivitamin spectrum. How to have a spirit-filled home. How to have a spirit-filled life. How to have a spirit-filled church. Desire it. Long for it. Ask God to come and move in power, that signs and wonders would flow through you, that hope would well up by the power of the Spirit, that you'd be sanctified by the Spirit. Have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's hard to be sensitive with the third part of the Trinity if he's speaking to you all week and you're constantly bucking him. How are you going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit for the last time he talked to you and told you to repent to your mother-in-law and you didn't do it? How are you? You say you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit when he tells you, don't do that, don't go that way. Oh, that's just... You have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I've found in my life, he just speaks to me random things and I just obey. If it's biblical, whether I make a right or a left or which way I go home differently. I drive differently. I'm trying to be led by the Holy Spirit ever. If you want to be someone who's filled with the Spirit, you got to be sensitive to his Spirit and he'll speak to you. Go get flowers for your wife. Submit to your husband. What you laughing at, Pastor Karen? Have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to his presence. I enjoyed worship tonight, Minister Daniel, and this morning too. One of the things that I really enjoy about my son is he's very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If you were to do a day in the life of Minister Daniel, now many times he's up before I am. Other times I'm up before him. But he has patterns. He has very clear patterns, and they're godly patterns. He wakes up. I mean, it's the first thing. I mean, he's going and brushing his teeth or whatever he's doing, but I can hear the word. I hear the word. It's playing on his phone. He's just awake. And he's in his devotional reading on a Bible plan on YouVersion. And he listens to that. And then when he's done with that, he's praying, and then there's worship happening as he's getting ready to come down here early in the morning for Sunday morning or whatever day it is. It doesn't matter what day it is. That's what he does every time he's waking up. And then he'll randomly come in and say, hey, I was looking at this and that. You might want to check that out. It's almost always a word from the Lord to me, always. Be sure you keep calling me when you head off to Maui and you get the desire of your heart and all that. And can someone say amen? The desire of his heart is the Lord and obeying him. See, that's why when God speaks, you have to be sensitive to it. You could try to, don't you think I'd want to hold on to my son? What kind of demented parenting would that be? You train someone to go, you know, be a world changer, and then it comes time to launch them out and you hold them back? desire to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, be sensitive to His presence. And another thing is learn how He operates. Now, how He operates in me is not how He might operate in you, but there might be some commonality there, but it's unique things that happen for me. How does the Holy Spirit operate in you? Can I have keys, Mr. Music Man? How does He operate in you? I know people that get words of knowledge by pain in their body, like their joint will hurt, and but they know that it's a word of knowledge because their left knee hurts. Someone here with a left knee problem. Yeah, you know what's funny about that? This young man just raised his hand. You know what's funny about that? I oftentimes get word of knowledge and fall into supernatural things like a little child, just exactly like that. And I find myself right exactly in the place that God wants me to be, over and over and over and over. Crazy things happen. Okay, I'm unboxing my books. I've been praying for this police officer that had come to the church. I haven't seen him in a while, Officer Scott. And so I was thinking about him, praying for him. And my furniture was brought over from Lucille, but it's got issues. It's, you know, it's 15 years old, and I need to put the legs back on it. I'm looking at it. I'm thinking about Officer Scott, and this card is stuck to the bottom of my, it came out of one of my drawers. It's his business card. Wow. And I looked, and I was like, oh, isn't that just like the Lord? He does that kind of stuff to me over and over and over and over. And if you're not sensitive to the fact that He's speaking, oh, God doesn't do that. Really? You know, it's one thing if somebody just talks about some crazy things that happen and then there's no fruit, there's no evidence. It's quite another thing when somebody has dreams and visions and they move forward and you see the proof, you see the fruit, you see the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. If somebody was to analyze your life, would they be able to tell you're filled with the Spirit or you just... I want to go deeper in God. We're going to go deeper in God by being rooted and grounded in the Word, yes, but longing and allowing for God to come by His power. Allowing Him to come. How does He operate in your life? What does God's voice sound to you? What is that like? What's the tone and the quality of His voice? Do you know His voice? I heard one man of God say this, say, you know, the voice of the Lord is when you gave your heart to Jesus and you just heard like, oh, I've got to give my life to Him. That was Him speaking. I got to give my life to the Lord. That's the Lord. It's a quality about it. Peaceable and kind, but He's also yelled at me. He said, God doesn't yell. Well, you got your own relationship with Him. Apparently I need to be yelled at occasionally. I have encounters with God that has saved my life over and over. How does He operate in your life? If you're going to be a Spirit-filled church, learn how He operates. And if you're going to be a Spirit-filled church, a Spirit-filled family, which I'd encourage you to do because that's a biblical model. That is a biblical model, not the intellectual ascent, not Gnostics. Spirit-filled, signs, wonders, miracles with the knowledge of God. All of these things lining up with scriptural truth. That's what you want. That's what we desire. That's who we are. I was loading a sod. It was a 20-foot container, filling it with sod to go to Kwajalein. Kwajalein is in the Marshallese Island. They were building a golf course for the military. Probably USAID doing that. So I was, oh, wait till this week. Wait till the Department of Education. Wait till, oh, just bring the heat, God. Do it, Lord. Somebody say, do it. I'm loading this container with these pallets of sod. And I've just got the front loaded, and I still have this one roll of sod that keeps rolling off. I mean, it's just irritating. And so I roll the forklift out. And I take the sod and I'm trying to jam it up there. I get the sod up there and I get pushed back, like literally, like somebody just pushes me back. I get pushed back. I got totally freaked out. I'm like, oh, what? And I felt the presence of the Lord, like the fear of the Lord came on me. And I go to pick up the sod and I get pushed back again. And I realized, get out of the container. And so I get pushed back again. I said, okay. And I walk out of the container. The moment I stepped out of the container, the whole thing flipped straight up on its end because I had front loaded it too far. It was too much weight before the legs, and it flipped straight up. My skull would have bounced off that steel container. I would not be preaching to you right now. I've had encounters where God spared me. I've had angels pick me up in a 1973 Dodge Dart. I think it was 73. Dodge Dart Duster. Does anybody know what that is? Apparently, angels can drive whatever they want. I don't know why it wasn't a Maserati. It'll be in my book. Signs and wonders happen. They happen. Expect them to. Look for them. Look for the leading of the Lord. Look for the miraculous to break out. Because there's nothing like ministering to a bunch of Muslims and all of a sudden oil starts flowing from everybody's hands. Like, oh, Jesus! And they just get saved because Muhammad don't release no oil. He's dead. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Confucius is also, but Jesus is alive, and the power of the Spirit is real. Learn how he operates. When you look through Scripture, you'll see there's five passages, and I'll close with this, five passages that talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, 120. Acts 8, the Samaritans. The Simon Magus, the sorcerer. Doesn't exactly say they got filled with the Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues, but it's inferred. Something other than just regular healing takes place. Then in Acts chapter 9 in Cornelius's house. Go read Acts 9. Read Acts 2. Read Acts 8. Write this down. I didn't give you notes, but write this down right now. Acts 2. Acts 8. It's inferred. Acts 10, Cornelius, Brother Corn. Pardon me, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9 is Cornelius, Acts 10, the Gentiles. Acts 19, Paul in Ephesus comes upon some, what he sees as believers, but he doesn't know they were disciples of John the Baptist, which shows you the reach of John the Baptist's ministry. Without any phones, without any email, without any text, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away from where, if not thousands, I need to go look on a map. They're in Ephesus. And Paul says, have you received the Spirit since you believed? And what do they say? The what? We haven't even heard there is such a thing as the Holy Spirit. We've been baptized into John's baptism. So he saw them, he saw their behavior, saw something about them that he caused them to think they were Christians. So then he asked them, are you Spirit-filled? He said, we didn't even hear about that. What? And there's 12 of them. And they all get filled with the Holy Spirit. You need the fire. You need the joy. You need the sanctification that comes, a hope that comes, a peace that comes from the Holy Spirit.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.